Andy Birrell is a business growth consultant and author of The Five Catalysts of Seven-Figure Growth. He has advised over 350 business owners and is an expert contributor to the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, and Business Week, among others. He discusses how attorneys can best impact the business clients they advise and how the attorney can best work together with the client's team of consultants and other experts. After listening to Andy's interview, contact Ed with any additional questions you'd like to have Andy address in a future interview.
Well, I have the pleasure today of talking with Andy Birrell from Cleveland, Ohio, who is a consultant to small businesses, many of whom have to use attorneys. Andy, welcome to our show today, and thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be here, Ed, and to chat with you about how our different fields work so well together.
Well, let's start off right away on that subject, and tell me how the clients that you work with, small businesses, actually use lawyers. The lawyers in our listening board today are always interested in getting more and better clients, and usually in the small business arena.
Well, it's terrific, and there's such a great gap between the trite points that we all hear about attorneys and how business owners have issues with them, and the real examples of fabulous relationships. And I think what distinguishes the ability of an attorney to best serve and work well with small businesses is beyond their ability to gain trust, but they're beginning to really appreciate how a small business works and the interaction between the owner's objectives and the business's objectives. We get so wrapped up in some key events such as succession or transfer or doing a deal or maybe establishing a new venture that we forget sort of the relationship between the business owner, his or her business, and the ongoing issues involved with an area that I specialize in called organic growth.
Well, let me stop you there for a moment, because you're making a distinction that I think is really important, and that is the business may have an objective and the owner may have a different objective. Now, how can a small business that's privately held have an objective that is different than its own owners?
Well, this is an area of great importance to me, because in my latest book, The Five Catalysts of Seven-Figure Growth, I point out that the first catalyst is the owner's confidence and conviction, and the second catalyst is both the owner's as well as his or her business's best and highest use. And when I call this a best and highest use, what I'm speaking to is what the owner and his or her business likes doing, what they're good at doing, and what the market has valued them for doing. And trying to reconcile and square the differences between the owner and his or her business are critical issues that I spend a majority of my time really focusing on with business owners.
So if the business has one value in the marketplace, in other words, they're making a product or they're delivering a service that the market values in one way, but the owner has a different objective. For example, he doesn't want to do what he's doing anymore, or he created a product or a service and he loves to do that, but he doesn't like running the business per se. And those are different issues, I suppose. But doesn't everybody have that kind of a dichotomy? I mean, in my experience, lawyers, doctors, widget makers, it doesn't really matter. They got into the business that they're in because they love doing or making what it is they're doing or making. And most of them don't really understand how to run the business side of it. So what's different about your world than what I'm describing as I see in almost every other aspect of our business world?
Probably not too much on one level, Ed, but when you start to appreciate how well a business works when the owner's objectives are aligned with that of the business's, then you see the opportunities there are to make sure that they are, in fact, congruent. Now, yes, a lot of us got into business to do one thing and realized that we have to run the business of our business. That's something here that I really want to make the point is where the owner can be helped to either outsource or hire or eliminate the tasks that he or she is finding so unpleasant so that they can, in fact, focus on the parts of the business that the business needs them to do. I always say that the owner has three hats. One is to act as the owner. The other is to act as the president. And the third is to act as the chief salesperson or the chief widget maker or inventor. And often the role that is most heinous to the business owner is being the president, being the administrator. I often make the analogy that the best possible circumstances when you have what was in the television show MASH, where you have Colonel Potter and his trusty right-hand Radar O'Reilly. Together they ran the camp much like many business owners can run a business, neither by themselves but collectively they were a powerful team.
Well, I mean, that's interesting, and I think the best example of the successful approach to that was probably Polaroid, where Land wanted to invent more cameras and more widgets, if you will, but he didn't want to run the business, so he literally hired a CEO, a management team to run the business while he stayed in the back room doing the invention.
And similarly, you see Bill Gates and Steve Ballmer serving those roles at Microsoft. What's interesting about this, though, is that what the attorney and growth consultants, because I work with so many attorneys very, very well, is to try to align these issues from a legal perspective, from a business perspective, and frankly from a personal lifestyle perspective, so that not only are the customers and the employees and the vendors happy with the fruits of the business's labor, but the owner, him and herself, or herself, along with their business, are actually functioning towards a collective and very satisfying goal.
Well, I guess to some listening to us, it might seem a little ethereal. So let me try to bring it down to where the rubber meets the road, and that is from the attorney's perspective, how is it that the attorney is going to be able to understand the differences as you're describing it? In fact, many of those owners in that position don't understand what's happening to them or what it is exactly that is bothering them. How is it that the attorney is going to be able to come in and make any distinction of that to be able to better serve the client?
I think the attorney needs to appreciate that they are typically responsible for building trust, maintaining a relationship where the client is not only sort of protected from the outsiders, but protected from him or herself. And the more that the attorney can appreciate that there are specific tactics that need to be taken outside of the legal sphere, if you will, that can align the owner, the business, and the marketplace, this is one great way. And this is where consultants of various sorts, obviously if they're experienced, effective, and good, can really help, because the consultant is brought in to identify and agree on with a client a certain outcome and then help that client to achieve it. And so what often works best is when the attorney and a consultant are able to work sort of mano a mano. One is working towards a specific tactical goal, the consultant, while the attorney has a more, if you will, sort of long-term, extensive goal of maintaining the owner's security, protection, and creating the legal pathway to avoid pain and accomplish opportunities.
Well, I guess to some degree you're suggesting that the attorney has got to hold the hand of the business owner oftentimes when the business owner refuses to stick out the hand. Am I hearing you correctly?
Now, that's exactly what I mean by avoiding the sort of the trite elementary jokes about consultants and attorneys. I'm assuming that an attorney by definition has gained the trust has earned the confidence and is working as an advisor, a trusted advisor with the client. And it's in those circumstances. So maybe this conversation sort of follows a more basic one, which is how to build trust with an owner. And we can certainly come back and have that conversation. But I think this assumes that the attorney, and I know so many, have effectively and satisfactorily achieved that sort of trusted relationship, and the hand has not only been outstretched, but it's been clasped, and no one's letting go.
Well, I think what you're describing, not to belabor the metaphor, is sort of a godfather kind of situation where the attorney is the one who's consulted, if not first, at least always, on business decisions. And frankly, my experience is that just doesn't occur. That the business owner goes to the attorney as a specialist, if you will, almost as a technician. And so maybe the conversation needs to start with, how do you get the trust of the small business owner such that they do look to the attorney for not only the technical legal advice, but also the more sophisticated and more general business advice. And, of course, that assumes that the lawyer understands how to run the business, and that's sometimes a pretty far stretch.
Well, I think it begs the notion of where and how to specialize. I think the best small business attorneys are the ones who understand or had some exposure to entrepreneurship, either through their families or through their other interests or somehow, some way, to the point that they're not even the specialist that the client necessarily looks at as actually doing the work. In other words, the attorney separated him or herself as the relationship person from the junior attorney who's probably that technician you describe. And where the situation works the best is where the attorney is confident and has the kind of breadth of understanding where he or she can refer in specialists both within their firm as well as outside consultants and so forth to accomplish those tactics, which really even further positions the attorney as that godfather you just described.
Well, that's certainly an interesting perspective. One, I think that most lawyers are really not looking at, but I suggest that may be the fourth plateau of four plateaus of service that I describe when you're talking about collaboration with the client, in this case, the small business owner, and you're collaborating with them not just on the legal matters but also everything else in terms of running the business so that you can use the concept of preventive law more effectively to make sure that the business client does not get into difficulty in the first place.
I think you're spot on, and I think as someone who's been practicing the consulting side for over a decade, I assume at this point that this is the goal that both all consultants on their end and all attorneys on theirs are pursuing, because it's through being able to focus on the ends that the clients, our mutual shared clients, are attempting to accomplish, as opposed to simply dealing with the means to those ends, that we avoid being commoditized, we avoid being shopped on price, and we avoid being looked upon as a cost and start to be looked upon much more as an indispensable asset.
Well, let me ask you a final question then along this line, which is, how is it that the attorney and the consultant can best work together for the best and highest use or interest or benefit of the client, realizing, of course, that the consultant does not have a prescription that the lawyer does, which is confidentiality. Certain things the lawyer cannot say or do outside of the direct presence and without the direct consent of the client. How is it that the attorney and the consultant can best work together?
I think they can work together by first and foremost assuming and really respecting the other as a peer. And that's something that takes, again, both takes some time, for both ends to sort of develop. But once an attorney and a consultant, and I have many relationships like this, are comfortable sitting down with the client and agreeing on the ends that the client is attempting to accomplish, there are certain things that are absolutely in the attorney's wheelhouse, and those things obviously are protection of risk, creation of both the negotiations as well as the documents that have to be prepared for any relationship to be consummated, and furthermore to become that trusted advisor in all things that impact legal, while at the same time the small business consultant is somebody that's looking at the functionality of the organization, looking at the relationship between the marketplace and the business, and looking at trying to make that profit and loss statement and that balance sheet and cash flow perform for the business and thus the business owner. So it's through understanding these shared objectives of the client and then working mano a mano that everyone thrives.
Thanks again for joining us.
You're welcome, Ed. Take care.
You have been listening to a LawBiz podcast. For more podcasts, please visit www.lawbiz.com/podcasts.html. Feel free to tell your friends and colleagues about LawBiz podcasts. You may duplicate this program in part or in whole, provided that you retain appropriate attribution and copyright notices.